News talks to me, it is 26 to 10. I said earlier this morning that I was going to talk to my person of the year at 9:30. The reason that this person is my person of the year is because in a sea of lemming-like behaviour, albeit that might be changing, but in a country where taking a stand and putting yourself on the line and spending your own money and fighting against injustice is not exactly commonplace, is not even encouraged, but shows a bravery, a profile, a personality, a courage that that is to be admired. Peter Shurtcliffe did it, pre-MMP, and he got barreled for it. Now we all think Peter Shurtcliffe had a point. Not only a point, a major point. My person of the year is John Boscawen. Good morning.
Good morning, Leighton. That's very generous of you. Thank you very much.
To me, it was a no-brainer. I have nothing but admiration for you, as I've stated before, for what you've done, for the stand that you took, for the effort that you put into this battle, and for the money that you spent of your own, in spite of what the suggestions from Parliament might, from the government benches might be, as of yesterday, for example. How do you feel, though, now that you essentially, I suppose you could say, have failed?
I'm disappointed for the country, Leighton. I think it's tragic for democracy in this country, but I intend to continue. I have a business. I've taken 2 months' leave of my business, but this issue is now very important to me. In fact, it's always important to me, and I'm going to take another 10 months' leave of my business, Leighton, and I'm going to campaign on the single issue until Election Day. I promised the Select Committee I would do that when I spoke to them on the 28th of September, and I will. And the government is relying on the fact that people were going to forget this issue. And you referred to that cartoon about the coffin maker earlier.
Yep.
That cartoon will only come true if people do forget this issue. And I'm going to work very, very hard to ensure that they don't, or do my best to ensure that they don't. And I want to try and keep it ahead of, or keep it in the eyes of the New Zealand public.
Yes. But, John, you're going to come in for a lot of abuse in the next 12 months then, or in the next 10 months. After all, you are a rich prick, right?
I'm well off, Leighton, and I'm very lucky that I have been able to fund this campaign, and I deliberately spent more than $140,000 because I wanted to show New Zealanders what they would lose, what they will lose on the 1st of January. I have tried to hold this government to account. The Human Rights Commission said quite emphatically that any restriction should be for no more than 3 months. They said quite emphatically that it would be essential that any changes be notified to the public for further consultation. They were ignored on both of those points. I have spent my money trying to hold the government to account. The government does not want to be held to account. And so on the 1st of January, people like myself and groups, and more importantly groups, not just individuals, but groups of people, will be restricted in what they can say. And furthermore, 2.5 million electors will be restricted in what they hear. And that's called censorship, Leighton. And you cannot put a dollar value on that.
But, John, you should not be able to, in a healthy democracy, buy an election.
You shouldn't be allowed to buy an election, Leighton. And nor does the Human Rights Commission believe that you should be able to buy an election. And I don't believe you should be able to buy an election. You started your program this morning, Leighton, by referring to some of the speeches you'd heard in Parliament. Well, I went down to Wellington yesterday, and I sat in the gallery for 2 hours, and I heard all the speeches. And I stood in the standing ovation. Once Tim Shadbolt stood in the public gallery, I joined him. But one of the speeches you didn't refer to, Leighton, was a speech by Honi Harawira. And I'm very pleased because the Herald has published on page A3 this morning extracts of various speeches. And I just want to quote what Honi Harawira said, because I thought his was one of the most outstanding speeches. And he said, "Yes, folks, money talks, but nothing talks quite like the truth. Nothing talks quite like the truth. And the truth about this bill is that the right to participate, one of the fundamental rights to participate in our so-called democracy, is how you elect the government. And what I intend to do, Leighton, over the next 10 months is to continue what I've done over the last 2 months, and is to speak the truth." Now, what the Prime Minister has tried to impress upon people is this bill only affects a few people. That's patent rubbish. an organisation like the Sentinel Sentencing Trust, who was a partner in one of my two marches, as was Family First, both of those organisations have got literally thousands of members. Most of those members give $10, $25, $50 a year. The causes of those two groups, and quite different groups, concern their members so much they've got lots of members. Once those groups have spent more than $120,000, they'll be denied the chance to continue speaking. Now, there are loopholes, and one of the loopholes is to form a political party, and it might be that Family First or Sentinel Sentencing forms a political party. But the point is that the people, the thousands of people who want to express their view on, say, just judicial issues or family issues, would be prevented. The Human Rights Commissioner actually acknowledged that there'd be loopholes in this legislation, and she said you shouldn't create loopholes, you shouldn't make it hard for people to participate in democracy. You want people to participate. Mm. You don't want people to buy an election, but you want them to participate.
You can't buy an election from outside of Parliament.
I think that's been well proved over the years, Leighton. But what you can do is you can try and create issues. And, there's another group who I'm aware of, but I'm not part of, who are starting a billboard campaign today. I just heard it on your news headlines.
Yeah.
Now, for a relatively small amount of money, they can put billboards up in Auckland, Tauranga and Wellington, and they can express their view that way.
Who is the Free Speech Coalition, do you know?
It's led by a gentleman called David Farah.
Yes.
So you know him.
Yep.
I initially was looking at working with them, but I decided to go my own way. I'm been quite emphatic that I don't want to attack politicians personally. I don't want to attack Helen Clark personally. There's lots of things that Helen Clark has done that I fully support, and in some ways she's been outstanding Prime Minister. But when it comes to this particular issue, Helen and I could not be further apart.
Well, I noticed particularly on the speech that you made after that first march, you went out of your way to praise Helen Clark for some of the things that she has achieved, and you were very generous to her.
No, it's
and,
true, Leighton.
And I've done the same over the years. However, there have been many things that I've not been pleased with, if you like, or happy about. But there's one point that I think is worth emphasising. Her inability to understand what's going on now over this bill, to me, means she's lost the plot.
That's quite possible, Leighton. It could also mean that she believes that she cannot win the election in legitimate means, and so her only chance is to try and win it by illegitimate means.
Yes, but John, that's even worse than what I was suggesting. I was being somewhat generous, I think. If what you're suggesting happens to be the truth, then it is disgraceful beyond belief.
I would agree. Leighton, the reason I had the second march is I'd never organised the first march. You know, I've never done anything like this before in my life, never spent anything like this. And the reason I've done it is I think it's just so important. It goes to the heart of our democracy. And the two television journalists, TV1 and TV3, came up to me during the course of the first march, and they just couldn't believe, one, the number of people, and two, the fact that the wide backgrounds and the fact that the overwhelming majority had not been on marches before in their life, had never felt so concerned about an issue. And when Helen Clark went on the radio and criticised me and criticised the march and dismissed the 2,000 people, I took a huge gamble. I said, we'll have a second march. And despite the fact that it was less than a month before Christmas, we organised a second march and we got over twice them. We had over 5,000 people. And yet Helen Clark dismissed those. Now, for every person who marched, I know there are another 10 who would like to march, because I have people saying to me, sending me emails saying they'd like to come on the march, their friends saying that they were there, they couldn't come. So I know that there is a huge awareness of this issue. This issue, you know, most people in New Zealand probably hadn't heard of the Electoral Finance Bill 6 weeks ago. Take the Herald, for example.
John, stop there, because I want to talk to you about the Herald, but I need to take a break, and I'll come back and spend a couple more minutes with you. It's 17 to 10, News Talk ZB.
Craft World has just opened a new market, a whole world of New Zealand-made gifts. Some of the best art and crafts produced in New Zealand, all under one roof. Stroll leisurely through Craft World, buy direct from the artist. With hundreds of artists and crafters displaying their unique and affordable art, crafts, food and fashion, Christmas will be a treat. Craft World, truly a Christmas shopping wonderland, now open at 5 Gillies Avenue, Newmarket, with lots of free parking, and Westgate Shopping Centre at the top of the North Western Motorway.
Don't fight the crowds at the mall looking for your husband's Christmas gift. Take a leisurely drive out to JK's World of Golf. It's a golfer's paradise with all the top brands and gear. It may not be your cup of tea, but the staff at JK's will help you pick out the gift that will have your man out onto the golf course before you can blink, leaving you to relax in peace. Let JK's help you this Christmas. JK's World of Golf. At the end of Nixon Road by the airport, look for the billboard or phone 0800 JK's Golf.
Do you find software licensing too complex, too difficult to understand? Hi, I'm Alan McLean from McLean Computing. Correct legal licensing is critical to your business success. So let us help you choose, install and maintain Microsoft solutions that make sense for you. And make software licensing a priority. Stay legal and get the most out of your technology investment. As Gold Certified Microsoft Small Business Specialists, we understand that it's not easy running a business. And we're here to help. So give my team a call today. That's McLean Computing, phone 377-0840. 377-0840.
Christmas is nearly here, and you haven't bought Christmas presents. Like me, you probably hate shopping malls, all the people, kids screaming, slow people in front of you, I hate it! Which is why I'm being smart this year. Smartgifts.co.nz. Gift voucher shopping online, in peace. Smartgifts.co.nz.
Winger Subaru is having a Christmas clearance. Get at least $3,000 off the retail price of any used Subaru. With over 100 cars to choose from, prices start at just $9,995. Offer ends Christmas Eve. Winger Subaru, Green Lane, 444 Great South Road. Call 0800-WINGER.
News talks about it is 15 to 10 now. John Boscow. And John, with regard to the Herald, the proponents of this bill have been hard at work, and they were at it again yesterday, to try and paint the Herald as a mercenary organisation, and the only thing they cared about was the money they might miss out on from full-page ads like and ads like you took out. What's your feeling about that?
Look, Layton, the ads I took out with the Herald cost about $50,000. The ads that the New Zealand taxpayer pays to run in the Herald on government policy and on radio stations like yours come to many, many millions, many, many millions. The hypocrisy of this bill, Layton, is the fact that what the government has done is freed up the right for taxpayers to take a lot more taxpayers' money in promoting government policies while restricting the rights of private individuals like me to try and hold them to account. But I think the Herald has played a very important role, an incredibly important role in creating awareness. I've been able to obviously do something, but they can do far, far more. And I think New Zealand should consider that up until the 19th of November, when this bill was reported back to Parliament, the restrictions applied if you spent a dollar. The restrictions applied if you spent a dollar. So if you wanted to spend just a single dollar, any political issue, you had to register with the government. That's a fact. And when Honi Harawira says money doesn't buy elections, the truth buys elections, I am committed to making New Zealand understand that up until the 19th of November, this government wanted New Zealanders to register with the Electoral Commission or by signing a declaration in front of a Justice of Peace if they spent a dollar. Now, that's now changed to $12,000. That's a big change. And, of course, the Human Rights Commission supports that big change. It should never have been there in the first place, but they support that change. But nevertheless, that those restrictions still cut in at $12,000, and the many thousands of members of Sensible Sentencing Trust, Family First and other groups will be affected, as will Greenpeace. And if there's been any self-interest that the Herald's been driven by, I suspect it's been their concern that the media are... What the government is trying to do is restrict private individuals from speaking out.
Yeah.
The next move, we've stopped the media from speaking out.
And why not stop them? If you've taken that step, why not the next one? That's the way that nature works. John, let me just wrap this up by making some comments to you. You're right about Honi Harawira. I did hear a part of his speech yesterday, only a fraction of it. And having had it drawn to my attention this morning, I've got to say that if anybody doesn't get it, if anybody thinks this is about big money, then explain to me how so many disparate people have come together on this. Tim Shadbolt, for heaven's sake. Honi Harawira, with whom I have absolutely nothing in common until now. Nothing until now. Has suddenly become a folk hero. And I hope it's not a short-lived status. You, me, the Herald, lots of other people who have no connection, people who went on marches who have never marched before, and yet still the government is blinkered as to the effects that this is going to have on them, and I think they're playing their last sucker card, believing that and hoping that come the new year, like Trevor Mellard, we'll forget about it. I congratulate you on what you've done. I congratulate you in advance on what you plan to do next year. And anything I can do to support you, I'm only too happy to do.
Leighton, I sincerely appreciate this. And they'll only have played the last sucker card, Leighton, if people forget about this. And I expect certainly people are going to be bought. Cuts are getting bought by increases extending in certain areas.
Yeah.
But this is a matter of principle, and I hope there's enough New Zealanders out there who will realise it's a matter of principle and will punish the parties involved.
Good on you.
Because if they don't, and the National Party see that you can do this sort of thing and get away with it, it's a tragic message you send to all politicians, because the National Party can play exactly the same stunt if they wanted to. It's very important that people recognise that and punish the parties concerned.
As you've said on a number of occasions, this campaign is apolitical. Thank you, John, and congratulations.
Thank you, bye.
My Person of the Year, John Boscawen.